You know what? A better way would be if you're a middle-aged person, not saying we are, but to then die of young age, meaning you Benjamin Button it, and all of a sudden you're going backwards.
Going backwards, would that be better?
Well, you die at a young age. You don't want to be baby age. You don't want to be that. That's creepy. And then go back in the womb.
That would have been the good end of the film, actually, is when he's like crawling back towards his mom. She just shoots him.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
Hi, I'm David Dedrick, and welcome to episode one. We're actually going to start all over. We're renumbering it.
Are we rebooting it? This is DC Comics style?
Sneaky Dragon, the new 52.
Okay. Yeah. So are we going to then be, like DC Comics, a lot meaner?
Yes, and I'm not wearing underwear.
Okay, and neither of us are married. Because in DC Comics, they have gotten rid of all the marriages. Aquaman, no longer married.
To a fish.
Superman. Yeah, he married a fish. Superman, no longer dating Lois Lane or married to Lois Lane. Now he is sleeping with Wonder Woman.
Okay.
So that
so
is
So they're us. Together.
Yeah, we've...
So let's just say you're Wonder Woman, I'm Superman.
What? No, this took a twist. I want to go back to Paradise Island with all the ladies. I don't care for this at all. That actually, by the way, does not super work for me, the Superman and Wonder Woman together.
Yeah.
Here's my nerdy reasons for that. And then we can get into other things.
Okay.
By the way, it's our anniversary show. Have we mentioned that?
Wait a second. I thought we were, last week was our anniversary. You said last week was the last show.
No, I said last week was the last. Show. That's the last day before the anniversary. Yeah. This is the anniversary. That's right. That was the wrap up. It's like when you, okay, Dave.
Wait, this is already, like, longtime listeners. Is that what you took from what Ian said? Because what I took from it was that was the final show
of
let's the
say
season.
You're going from 40 to 50 years old.
Yeah.
Hey, it's 49 and all the, you know, it's like your next day's your birthday. Hey, goodbye to your 40s. We're saying that. That was yesterday. That was the last episode.
Yeah.
Now the 50s are coming up. Hey, happy birthday. There's no difference there. We said goodbye to the last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the old acquaintance be forgot. And happy New Year. And now it's New Year.
But wait a second.
This is the start of the third season right now.
I don't think that works the same way.
All right. Well, we can discuss the math after I talk about my Superman thing.
All right. Sure.
All right. My problem with the Superman thing is Superman has a couple of weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
One, chocolate goes right to his thighs. Two, kryptonite.
We all share that. Am I right? Am I right, everyone?
I'm off sugar right now, so it's true. Kryptonite. That's his other thing.
Yeah.
And then his...
It goes straight to his thighs.
That's right. And also...
How come it wasn't as funny when I said it?
Then the red sun, that's no good for him. Turns him back to normal dude. But the other big one, magic.
Okay.
Magic messes up Superman.
So like Mr. Mix, the pickle Mick?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. He really screws up Superman. Now he's dating a gal. She's magic. She is made of magic.
Is that what it is now?
Well, originally the origin of Wonder Woman was, she was made of clay. She was a dreidel. And her Jewish mother went, I wish I had a daughter.
Yeah.
And like, boom, there's a wonderful woman for you. Enjoy. That was it. It was the original Wonder Woman was all written in Yiddish.
And whenever she lied, her breasts would grow.
What?
And that's when they had Linda Carter.
Okay. Well, I don't object to that idea at all. But now they've decided, nope, nix on that. She's got a dad. And her dad is Papa Zeus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the guy. He's Zeus. Okay. So Zeus is all magic and stuff in the DC universe. So now Superman's dating
a gal. So what form did he take when he copulated with her mother? Wasn't a swan? That's been done. Wasn't a water? Wasn't a fountain?
Mm-hmm.
That's been done. Or a waterfall?
Right.
What was he? A tree?
It was a jackalope.
He was a jackalope? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he jackaloped her.
Yeah.
They went off.
He could have said he was a package of Wonder Bread.
Why was that? Oh, because Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how do you get the little seal off? I guess you'd have to, unless you were having safe sex. But wait, then she wouldn't have a baby. Okay. Anyway, long story short.
She popped his seal. He was no longer a virgin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, he's eternal, like Wonder Woman, Wonder Bread. So that does make sense. Neither ages at all.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. There's absolutely no need for that seal around it. Like, why are you sealing that up? The Wonder Bread's not going to go bad. We're both living a lie with that Wonder Bread. Anyway, long story short, they're dating. I don't think it works.
No, well...
Also, you're going to get a baby who's half God and half alien if they have a kid. And who needs that nonsense in the world?
I think godhood, like Jewishness, only passes down to the mother. Oh, it would pass. Oh, yeah.
There you are.
Yeah. My goodness. Well, whatever.
Okay. So.
Doesn't matter. Whatever happens, they'll reboot it in a few years.
Absolutely. That's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, Superman's a guy who, when in his college years, he dated a mermaid. So the guy's been around.
You know
Superman?
Yeah.
Because he was able to, like, have a relationship with a mermaid. And that is tricky business.
Unless you're Aquaman.
Well, even Aquaman, I think, would have a hard time working around the tail. Like, Aquaman's dated some undersea gals, but they've all been Legginsons. They've got legs.
Yeah.
Superman sees a gal with a tail, goes, I can work that, and does. And that's what makes him Superman.
Yeah. Because he just spermed all over the eggs on the ocean floor.
What? That's how we're starting our third season? Is that the tone you want to set, sir?
That's how the tone I wanted to take.
You know, your daughters listen to this show. By the way, happy birthday to half of your daughters who are having a birthday.
Phyllis has turned 16.
Right.
She is now legally able to
listen to that joke.
Legally able to drive the car she's been driving for 3 years.
Explain.
Well, she's always loved to drive. So whenever we're like somewhere remote, like on a country road, like particularly going to where the horses are, she always drives up and down that road. She likes to drive. She harrows the ring, which is like the harrow. It's just like a big
harrowing the ring is a Tolkien book.
That's right. That's right. The riding ring, she'll harrow it with the, she'll get into the car and or the truck and drive it around with a harrow behind it.
Okay.
And she can park a horse trailer by herself.
Oh, all right.
Like back it around a corner and park it.
That's pretty good.
I know, it's crazy. I couldn't do it till I was in my 30s, probably. Well, never tried, but.
I mean, you've never been a 16-year-old girl.
No, that's true. I mean, that's where I missed out. That all 16-year-old girls can park horse trailers.
Yeah, guys can't do it. Your wang guys. Keeps getting in the way.
Yes. That's where we want to start the season, is it? That's my daughters listen to this show.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
And I don't know, you're talking about Wang computers.
No, when they were younger, I say 3 years ago, if your daughter's 13.
You meant Wang computers, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
13 years of age, they might be listening to the show because what else are they going to do?
Exactly.
You know, they can't get out of the house.
No.
But now she's free. She's got a car. There's no way she's listening to this anymore.
Yeah.
You can talk about whatever you want, buddy. Just go to town.
Go to town.
Don't hold back.
You can tell all kinds of lies about them. Well, she went to do her written test so she could get her learner's license, and she didn't pass.
She misspelled harrowing?
She misspelled harrowing, and she... Here's the thing. I don't know if how many people here have taken a driving test or written their learner's...
I've done the learner's test.
Well, what you should do before you go is study.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a theory that I have of writing tests, is that whatever test that you do, study before you write it.
I don't remember it being that difficult.
It's 50 questions.
Right. It would be hard for me now because I've lost the studying gene.
I don't have that anymore. 50 questions, and you can get 10 wrong. Mm-hmm. So you have to have an 80% score to pass.
Mm-hmm. I remember one was like, what's a yield sign look like? And it was like, well, you gotta, it, just in life, you'd know that, right? Like, there were some that were just like basic.
Some are obvious.
Then it's like, how far should you be behind a car, you know, when you think the person's attractive? And the answer is one car length, or you're looking trampy.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That was the actual question.
Yeah.
How far back should you be from the car in front of you if you think that person's attractive?
Yeah, one car length.
Yeah. You don't want to get all up in their butt.
No, you don't. That's what it said. Don't get all up in their butt.
Yeah.
That's what they said in the driver's test.
Well, the thing, what Millis complained about, and Phyllis didn't say, Phyllis was very sad that she did pass.
I'm very sorry.
I think she assumed that she would walk in, because she could park a trailer, horse trailer, she would just automatically pass.
Right.
But, you know, the thing is, she couldn't even answer the question. I mean, she was missed by three questions. She missed it by.
Right.
So she didn't know lots of things. But one of the questions she didn't know was, what is the regular driving speed in Canada?
Like, oh, I'm not sure. I would say, is it? Oh, boy. I do not know. What is it?
50 kilometers an hour.
Oh, okay.
That would be your, if it's not posted, that would be your assumed speed. That,
okay.
You know.
That's an easy number to remember. Good for them.
It is. And she should have known that if she had read the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would have been like the first thing they would have told you in the what speed should you drive section.
Or if she had looked at the app. Let me assume there's an app.
There's not an app, but there's a PDF that you can download of the driver's manual.
Yeah, because kids don't read the books anymore. But a PDF they would read.
And then there are tests, practice tests.
Yeah, which you should read that while you're driving on the way to the exam.
So I think, well, that's right. All Millis did was just do the practice tests.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, I got 100%. I'm ready.
Random questions, yeah, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how they get
exactly.
You.
And you're allowed to skip questions 2 times. So if you get a question and you feel like you don't know it, you can skip it.
You can Family Feud it.
That's right.
Pass.
Pass. But it might come back again, and you can pass it again. But if it comes back a third time, you have to answer it.
Right.
So I don't know. I wasn't there. Of course, I was sitting and reading. I wasn't. I could be near her giving her tips.
Nope, you could not, because you were planning American Thanksgiving dinner.
Dad, what do you do at a yellow light? Slow down. What? Remember that taxi? That was a bit from Taxi, sir. Had to do it.
Well, most of the stuff that we've done in our previous two seasons has been, stuff from Taxi.
From any sitcom, really.
That's right.
We just, Three's Company, we've mined them all.
I know. That's the thing. Now that we're not married anymore, we're both sad because we love our wives and wish we could, you know, fix that. And it's like, why don't you get married again, says someone. And we go, what? And then we get married again.
I see a sitcom coming up here.
That would be the Bob Newhart Show.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, shit. I thought it was The Odd Couple.
No, that is The Odd Couple. You're right. Wait a second. Oh, now we owe Lorenzo Music's estate some money.
Did he write that song?
I think he did.
Oh.
His name was Music. He had to write Music. There's no way if your name is Music. First, your name is Lorenzo.
Yeah.
One, you invent music or oil. Yeah. One of the two. Those are your two choices.
Those are the only few things you can do in life.
No, that's about it.
And play a doorman.
Yes, you could be Carlton, your doorman.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the Carlton, your... By the way, let me just make a reference to what we're talking about there.
Yeah.
Carlton, your doorman. Now, what show was that? Was that a Rhoda?
That was Rhoda, yeah.
Okay, that's Rhoda.
Which doesn't even has nothing to do with Bob Newhart, actually.
Okay, that's fine. Rhoda was a... But the connection is Lorenzo Music, who was the
apparently wrote the music for
also the was Bob the Newhart co-creator show. Of the Bob Newhart Show.
Okay.
And he was the voice of Garfield the cat in his later years.
Yes.
Also
Garfield the doorman.
That's right. Also Peter Venkman in the Real Ghostbusters series. Anyway. Carlton your doorman, did you ever see the Carlton your doorman animated special?
No, I did not.
Very sexual. I remember there's a lot of sex jokes in it. It was very strange. And you got to see Carlton,
okay.
Who was a mustached man,
yes.
Hippie-ish.
That's wrong.
Completely wrong that you see Carlton, your doorman.
Yeah.
But I remember that, like when I was a kid, take a drink. There was a series of 8 o'clock specials, animated specials, that got pretty sexy. You know, and one that was surprisingly sexy, the Kathy special.
Hmm.
She clearly was having sex with Irwin.
Is that right?
Clearly, yeah. And I've watched it again recently and was like, oh, that was pretty pretty racy for the time. And I think the Carlton one might have had some drug, little hints. Oh, drug use.
So can I guess that he popped her cherry and she said, og?
You could guess that.
Okay.
But I wish you wouldn't. Third season. This is the way it's going, everybody. You know, I did the Critical Hit show last night, which is our D&D show. It was very fun. Our producer and creator of the show, Eric Fell, though, we did a little video advertising it before, and he went, this one is the perfect jumping off point.
Mm-hmm.
For audience members.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I think he tried to say jumping on point. Okay. But I was like... But it went out unfixed.
I missed that.
On the YouTube as this is the perfect jumping off point.
It's time to get off the show now.
That's right. And I'd say this is our perfect jumping off point.
No, it's not.
No, we've, you know.
I want more people to jump on.
All right. Fair enough.
That's why I'm changing the whole format of the show.
Oh, what's new?
Sexy.
Okay. Just sexy talk.
Yeah.
As sexy as a Kathy animated special.
Og.
I think it's Ack.
Oh, it's Ack.
You're thinking peanuts. I think you've got a case of peanuts envy. And it really should be, ack, ack, ack.
Yeah.
Chocolate, ack. Chocolate, chocolate, ack, ack, ack.
Shoot. It's been a while since I read Kathy.
Do you know who really liked...
She retired, you know.
You ever watch Kathy Geiswhite on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson? I
remember her on David Letterman.
Okay, well, David Letterman, they had a jokey relationship. But
she
you
was
could
a
tell,
toothsome woman.
Yeah, you could tell that Carson was like, hey, how you doing there, cartoonist? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they had a little heat
that's
going
nice.
On. Yeah.
That's nice. Good for him.
Good for him.
And good for her, too.
Maybe better for him.
Oh, well, got her on TV a lot.
Now, Dave, I've got to tell you and our listeners, I'm a little tired right now.
Okay.
My wife is on another continent.
She is out continent.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that a callback to your incontinent joke from last week? Good stuff. She is right now visiting Tokyo, Japan. A mutual friend of ours. She did some work for them, and they flew her to Japan as a thank you.
Nice.
Only 2 days. Two days in Japan, but still. Pretty fantastic. So she's in Tokyo sending me a whole bunch of stuff. But being a fella who is used to living with somebody, not living with her, I'm going squirrely and not sleeping, and it's weird.
It's strangely quiet in the house, right?
Yeah, it's quiet. Sleeping in the middle of the bed, boo. Not so good.
Yeah, I don't like when family are away from home. I don't like it.
Yeah. I'm starting to make a dinner, and I'm like, well, no, this is pointless. I'll just make a sandwich. You know, it's just like just basic things, right? You're just like, you know, you start talking to someone, oh, they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not. And so you go, all right, well, the cat saw me. Start talking. I got to be embarrassed in front of them, or I'll just pretend I was just talking to them.
Yeah.
You know, but now the cats are going, you never call me darling. So it's not going over well.
Yeah, during the summer, the girls went up to their uncle's cabin for a week, and then Lisa went away to Ottawa. She went somewhere anyway, and on Pony Club business with her briefcase and
full of horseshoes.
This is overweight.
Just for luck.
This is overweight.
Just for luck.
She had to take out the horseshoes.
No, because the airline goes, we need this much luck on the flight. Thank you.
So then, and she can only bring like a very small bottle of horse urine onto the plane. But the house was so empty then.
Like, yeah.
With the girls gone and her gone. And, you know, we were talking a little earlier, so I'll just catch up our listeners. We were talking about introverts. Mm-hmm. And I'm an introvert. Like, I love being at home with my family. But every night I go away and I sit outside in my shop or studio for a couple hours.
And swear. At the neighbors.
Just draw.
Scream out the windows. Scream the worst racial epithets.
Draw or work on something, or I'll go downstairs. I'll just disappear downstairs, and I'll be downstairs reading and listening to music or whatever.
Or go on the roof with your fiddle.
Go on the roof with my fiddle. And, yes, sing Matchmaker. But not having them there, it felt so lonely in the house, and particularly in the night, like going to bed at night, and there's no sound, like I can't hear any breathing. I can't hear any sound, any light snoring. Not that my daughters snore, but let's just pretend that they might snore. I never heard any of that. And my wife's terrifically loud snoring. I didn't hear any of that. So it just seemed like really, this is eerie. Like it's
missing something. When you were a young man, it was like, say your parents would leave the house.
That was awesome.
Oh, this is the best thing in the world.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing better. You know, time for risky business. Time to run a brothel out of this place.
Do.
Yeah. Try to do that slide, fall, hurt your knee. Can't get help from anyone. Do I put on the pants? You know, before the ambulance comes, or because they're going to just have to cut them off me, but I don't want to be lying here in my underwear when they come in. This is bad. The difference between that and then when you're an adult going like, you got the house to yourself. And like, I got the house to myself. This is no good. I don't care for this.
I still enjoy it to a degree, but not the same amount. Yeah,
I was watching movies that she would not like.
Okay.
That she would not approve of, because I can watch whatever. I'm a grown man.
You can watch whatever you want.
I want.
Yeah, sure.
But she does not care for, say, a gangster movie. Does not like that.
Any kind of gangster movie.
Well, no.
Here's your chance to watch The Godfather.
Basically, yeah. So I watched Goodfellas.
That's a very good movie.
It is a very good movie with one. There's one scene with Paul Sorvino, though. He's got a cigar in his mouth, and it keeps vanishing and coming back.
Oh, really?
Like, even one of the best movies in the world. it has to have that.
Well, if you watch Singing in the Rain, which I would consider one of the best Hollywood musicals.
And your wife will not let you watch it because she hates the rain.
She doesn't like musicals. But no, I was just going to say, in that film, there's a scene where someone flips over a railing, like it's supposed to be like an action scene.
Right.
And they fall over a railing and you can see two hands come up and grab their leg to, you know, just prevent them from hurting themselves as they fall. Which, you know, you're like, hey, no one noticed that? Two hands come up and grab someone's leg? So, well, whatever. But all movies have little...
It's a musical. You cut slack.
All movies have mistakes in them.
But I'll tell you something that I did like about it. Like, my problem a lot of times with gangster movies, I feel like it glamorizes, you know, something that is people...
Do you think that really?
I do, actually. I think a lot of times... Well, you know...
Do you feel like when you watch Goodfellas that you want to join that lifestyle?
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
That's the one thing I really liked about that was, you know, because it's, you know, you see the gangster life, you're like, oh, that sounds pretty good. And then the guy makes one mistake and it's like, oh, now you're going to jail or you're getting shot in a hail of bullets or that's the normal way to go. But what I liked about this one, because normally I'm watching it going, arrest him, arrest him, arrest him. I want him arrested.
Yeah.
Was I love the ending, spoilers, but I love that he's got to be a regular guy at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a perfect punishment for this guy who's always wanted to live the high life. He's always wanted to do this. And it's like, that is a perfect ending.
Yeah.
Like everyone got the perfect ending for what they were.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, yeah, I'm fine with it by the end. Everyone got theirs. I'm cool. Walk away.
Well, I would say all of Scorsese's gangster films, whether Mean Street, Goodfellas, Casino.
Did you say Main Street? Mean Street.
Mean Street, yeah. Did I say Main Street?
Streets.
Mean Street, sorry.
Let's pluralize it. Let's make it a...
I think I just mispronounced the word.
You are currently on Main Street. I can see how you would be thrown by that.
That's a problem. All of them have, like, gangster elements, but all of them, they're just not a happy... Not happy campers.
Well,
but I would say the same about The Godfather. I don't think you could watch The Godfather, like, see, not necessarily the third one, but if you watched Godfather 1 and 2, mm-hmm. you see, you know, the slow erosion of a person that you liked into someone that you don't like. And
yes, but there is a bit of
happiness for them and for everyone else around
but
them.
But there's periods in there where there's like enough glamour that you go like, and same with Goodfellas. Like Goodfellas, you go like, yeah. Oh, that looks, boy, get that restaurant, that special table,
yeah,
get
yeah.
the this and that and area. Yeah, I mean, the one thing...
Well, you have to have a taste of why you would want to be part of that life.
Right.
Like, you know, you just can't be all Joe Pesci going crazy. It has to be, you know, it has to have elements of you like, oh, I can see, you know, that's pretty nice. You just walk into a place and get that long. And not only do you get like a table, but you get a long one-shot scene, like one, like uncut sequence, you know, like a long, you know, that's really great choreography of, you know, like all these people pulling things apart and moving things around so
yeah,
you can walk into a restaurant.
That's an awesome scene. I mean, yeah. Everyone praises that scene, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was really well done. I would love to see, though, in one of those movies, someone just make the most logical statement, which no one ever makes in these movies, which is, hey, fellas, why don't we just get jobs? Because long story short, you will make more money over the long haul if you actually have a damn job, any job, really, than this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you can see one guy doing well. And it's like, okay, well, he won the lottery, you know. But also, this could be taken away from him at any time. And also, people will want to kill him. And he's like, you know, rising up through the thing. Well, now he's a bigger target on his head.
Yeah.
You know, or fellas, here's what we could do. For the same amount of effort and less people trying to shoot us, we could have some jobs.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Actually, I do like Goodfellas a lot, but I'm actually a bigger fan of Casino.
Okay, I have not seen Casino.
Yeah, I really like that film.
I do like Don Rickles, so maybe I'll watch Casino tonight.
You should. It also has Alan King in it. So
I like
go.
Alan
two,
King
two
as well.
Two old-timey comedians playing serious roles. And
Henny Youngman was in this one.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's like, it's interesting actually now, comedians in mob films.
Mm.
You'd be like, oh, and Richard Belzer is in Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah. He's a comedian in the Godfather movies.
Okay.
Yep. I can find you a scene.
Sure. I believe you. It's been a while since I watched them. Either of them.
But I was thinking like, that's what I was thinking. Like, it's this wonderful, you know, you're living on top of the world. You got everything. You got all this money. You got the gal that you love. But you got to go watch a Henny Youngman show. It's not all that great, huh, fellas? There you are. I never quite understood the Henny Youngman. I get he's like the king of the one-liners. But like, how do you get past 6 minutes of that?
Yeah.
Like, and then you're just like, okay.
But what about Rodney Dangerfield? He was kind of one-liner after one-liner.
Yeah, but he would then go off into like stories a little bit, and I think he was so character comedy, whereas Henny Youngman was just da 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 da. It's just like, but Rodney could carry it through. And you're also always wondering when Rodney was going to like have a heart attack. Like, that guy, is he going to make it through? Is he? Yeah, he did. Good for him.
Yeah. You know, he was a friend of Lenny Bruce, right? That they worked together.
Does that mean he was gay? Is that how they said it back in the day?
No,
a friend of Lenny's? Is that how they said it?
A friend of Lenny's, that's right. That meant he used heroin. No, but he...
Yeah, he used heroin probably, though. Yeah, a friend of Lenny's.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd say he did a lot of coke.
Oh, well, much later. I'm just talking about at the time when he was
very
friends
good.
With...
Okay. So how was he now? He was not Rodney Dangerfield at that point.
No, he used his real name at that time, or maybe used some version of it, like Jackie something or other. And but he, Lenny Bruce, and a couple other people. This one person, like, named Joe Ansis, who's like supposed to be like the most. He's like famous for being hilarious, but never doing any stand up or anything. One of those kind of guys, you know. Mm-hmm. He was the most talented of them all, and just sold aluminum siding.
That's right, and everyone has them all. Talented brother.
That's right. Yeah, but he's like famous for that. Like amongst Bruce and Dangerfield, and they all looked up to this guy, even though he never performed. He just would get together with them and crack jokes and stuff like that. But no one was funnier But probably no one's funnier because no one was like conserving the material as much as the other people were who performed it on stage and were like actively trying to work up bits and stuff like that. And here's this one guy, I could just let it all out because who cares? I'm just going to go sell aluminum siding after we finish here at the diner.
Also, it's different jokes that make you laugh, like comedians laugh sometimes. Yeah. That, you know, that if he was doing him to the Straits, maybe it wouldn't fly.
Although that was a criticism of all those guys, was that they played to the band, whether Bruce or any of those people or Dangerfield at that time in his career. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, like he quit.
Siren's going by the way.
Oop,
everyone, do some heroin.
Take a drink
and think of Lenny.
Think of Lenny. Dangerfield quit stand up. And did become like an aluminum siding salesman or do that kind of job. And then later on came back to it again in the 70s. And
now, wouldn't that be weird if like you had your aluminum siding done by Rodney Dangerfield and later saw him on TV?
Well, he didn't.
I swear to God, that guy.
He didn't apply it. He just sold it.
Okay. But still, like you know, he does. Was it door to door, mate?
Yeah.
Perhaps? Yeah. There you go. So you bought aluminum siding off a guy. Mm-hmm. Then a couple of years later, you're looking at his aluminum siding going like, I don't like this anymore. Watch The Tonight Show. That's the guy. And everyone goes, sure it was Dad. You crazy bastard. It's like, no, Rodney Dangerfield. He's the guy who sold. Sure he did.
Yeah,
that's what happened. Frank Sinatra came here and said, I'll mow your lawn for $10. He did. Oh, yeah, sure he did, buddy. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
Then Dad goes off to the home.
I don't know why I brought that up anyway. I wasn't going anywhere and I just went down a dead end.
No, it's okay. How you did it was I brought up Goodfellas. I brought up Missing My Wife, went to Goodfellas, went to Comedians, went to that.
Yeah.
That's called a sneaky tangent. That's what we do. And if you think like we're getting rid of the sneaky tangents in our third season, No, sir, we're not. Now, there's another
anniversary. We should try to do another one topic show, though.
Sure, if you'd like to.
Yeah.
I'm in.
It was a challenge last time.
All right. Well, we'll, okay, here's the thing. I like a challenge.
Okay.
Let me throw this out there right now. If anyone out there has a topic for us to talk about for one full episode, we're open to that right now. Okay, so there you go. That's out there.
Let's make it a contest again.
Okay, we'll make it a contest.
Let's get as many suggestions as possible.
And then we'll use the one that we got. Okay, sure. Yeah, that all makes sense. That's what we're going to do.
You're saying we're only going to get one?
Huh?
Okay.
Okay.
From our listener?
Yes.
Okay.
From our listener.
Yeah.
Who's just listening to us out of community service work. That's right. Like, listen.
Wearing an orange jumpsuit.
That's right. We saw you littering. Buddy, mm-hmm. You got to listen to this podcast for 6 months. Occasionally write some things. It's a CRTC thing.
Or a girl.
Yeah. We don't know who they are.
We don't know who they are.
Yeah. They're in a kind of witness protection situation from us. We cannot actually know who they are.
Because we'll bug them.
That's right.
We won't leave them alone. What do you think of that episode?
Yeah.
What do you think of 96? That was a pretty good show, wasn't it?
How's this title card working for you? So anyway, it's a contest, and if you win, we'll give you a shirt and some buttons and some other shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, and if you live in the States, we'll send you a Canadian chocolate bar. How's that sound?
The only problem with giving away shirts, I found, is that...
people hate them.
Is our no shirt, no service policy. So we never seem to give away shirts then.
Oh, okay.
We should probably change it.
Now, I made a chocolate mistake, by the way, yesterday, Dave.
Wait a second. You're on a non-sugar diet?
Yes.
So what is this with chocolate?
Oh, well, the non-sugar thing starts today. By the way, I did not eat this chocolate.
Oh, okay.
In the show that we do, we sometimes have gold coins that are those chocolate foil coins.
Okay.
They are used in our D&D show as loot.
Yes.
We went to the audience to buy things from them, and we traded them for coins. That was the bit.
Yeah.
I'm storing the coins in my pocket.
Okay.
I think that I'm through all the coins.
Yeah.
Do the rest of the show.
Sure.
Go home. Get some sleep.
Yeah.
Rough sleep because my wife's not there.
Yeah.
Wake up today.
And because she's not there, you didn't even bother changing out of your pants. You probably just went to sleep in your clothes.
Why not?
Why not? Indeed.
Did not happen. I actually just put the pants aside. Next morning, that being today, get up, put the thing, reach into my pocket to pull something out. Pants that have been by the radiator. Reach in. Who's Johnny Chocolate Pants? Me. That's it. Covering all my cards, all the everything, bank cards.
Oh, no.
Who's doing a big scrubbing of the pants? It really looks like I pooped my pants from the front. Terrible. Absolutely.
And apparently
terrible.
Chocolate's hard to get off.
Yep.
With.
Yes. I don't know. There was some joke there that I didn't want to go with. But yeah, that was an awkward start to the day. Reaching in. I'm in a bit of a rush. I got to get this car. Oh, who's got some time now to deal with this? Fantastic.
Nice.
But yeah, we'll send you a Canadian chocolate bar if you're from the States. You know what?
Cherry blossom.
I'm going to flip it. Yeah. That's probably the hardest to mail. Let's get a flat cherry one so we don't have to spend money on a box. And if you're from Canada...
Hey, what's a Canadian chocolate bar that you can't get? Oh, Arrow.
Yeah, an Arrow.
Can't get it in the States.
You could get a Coffee Crisp.
Coffee Crisp, okay.
Very nice, light snack. And if you're from Canada, maybe I'll find you an American bar. Look, we'll flip it around. We'll do something.
Flip it around.
But I was saying that someone else had an anniversary this week, and it was a British fella named the Doctor.
Oh yes.
And did you see the anniversary special?
I did watch the anniversary special, and I watched the kind of the making of, not making of, but the
A Journey Through Time and Space.
Journey Through Time and Space, the first Doctor.
Well, David,
show episode.
Let's discuss movie. Both.
Okay.
Starting now. All right, starting with Journey Through Time and Space.
Okay.
The story of William Hartnell,
yes.
The first Doctor.
And Verity Lambert, the first female producer.
Do you remember the director's name?
His name was Wasser Hussein.
Yeah, his name was Saddam Hussein.
Wasil Hussein.
Okay, sure. Yep, that's right. No, it sounds correct.
I'm very close.
Now, the most important thing I think that we found out in that origin story wasn't... how involved those people were. Like, it wasn't that it had a female producer. That's
and one impressive. Other thing, which is interesting, what's is that? The head of Sidney Newman.
Oh, well, this head of production. You're stepping right all over. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So I'm gonna do a gentle pushback into a snowbank, a Canadian snowbank, yeah. And say the most important thing we learn is
that's another chocolate Doctor you can't get in the States.
It was created was created
yeah.
by a Canadian. And let me say this to you, yeah. England.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yes. Also, fuck you.
Yeah, also. For what? Why are we
I
saying that?
I don't know.
That?
I just... Whatever.
Okay.
They're queens all over our money.
And also, as you know, the Doctor Who movie with Paul McGann was done here in Vancouver, Canada.
That's true. That's
which is widely regarded as the best Doctor Who there's ever been.
Oh,
and
the
so,
best.
Again, I have to say to you, you're welcome.
And also, fuck you.
Why is that?
The queen's face all over our money.
Okay, well, and chocolate's all over her face now, because that was also in my pocket. So, if you want to know what she looks like with a big beard, you...
Or at least after a particularly, after a chocolate binge, yes. I was going to say purge, but that's wrong.
You know what? Frankly, it looked like it looked both. Yeah, it looks the same going in as coming out, yes. Frankly,
yes,
your majesty.
If you eat a lot.
Okay, so the neat thing that we learned there was, yeah, the producer was a lady.
A
which
lady.
At the time, say, and the director was...
She got a lot of stick.
And the director was an Indian fella.
Was an Indian
which
fella?
Also, and you know what I liked about that was you thought like, oh, this is all going to be about a lady can't do this, and we don't want no Indian doing this, and you know, the old British racism.
Yeah.
But I liked that they kind of brushed past that. It was like you had a little of that off the top, and you had one guy making a joke about him being an Indian, and then another guy going, shut up. And I was like, okay, I'm done. And that was the end of that, and then on we go.
Yeah, no, that was it was an interesting show. Yeah, and I liked the fact that it certainly didn't sugarcoat Hartnell at all. I mean, he definitely came across as a bit of a jerk.
Him doing the grumpy stuff with his granddaughter off the top was like, oh, that's good '60s.
That's reality.
Old guy. Yeah, that's reality, I buy that guy. Yeah.
But what I liked about it was his concern with, like, when he says, "Well, I can't do that because I need to know where the dials are." I need to know where things are because I need to do the same thing each time. When I open the door, I need to push the same button because children will notice.
Yes.
I thought, that's so right. I mean, yeah, that's what, not that kids will, you know, it'll just take them out of it. Like they'll be so into it that they want the reality of it, you know. And it's funny, I was thinking about it the other day. Like, the first Doctor Who that I saw was a John Pertwee Doctor Who, but I didn't actually enjoy it that much. I thought it was okay, and I watched it on Saturday mornings. It was on the Victoria Station.
John Pertwee was the one Doctor that did not travel in space and time. He was,
that was
stuck
it.
On Earth.
Yeah, he drove around in a yellow jalopy.
Right.
And there was mentions made of the... He did.
Betsy, I know, but that's why I always thought that was a shitty trade.
Yeah.
Which was like, you've got this machine, what can it do? Travel anywhere in space, anywhere in time.
Yeah.
How about this yellow jalopy?
Yeah,
I could drive around a bit.
It was a budgetary thing, apparently.
Absolutely, makes sense.
But so I mean, I watched them, but it didn't strike a chord with me. It wasn't until I was a teen that I watched the Tom Baker episode, and the first one that I saw was the Boxing Day night, and I watched the Talons of Wu Fung or some kind of name like that. I can't remember the exact name of it. And it was to do with like this guy. He was like a magician, like a Chinese magician working in a traveling show in Victorian England. And he has this little tiny doll that comes alive and kills people. It's kind of creepy.
Oh, of course.
And it was a Leela episode. And it was the first one I saw. And I was watching, I was thinking, oh, this is kind of hokey. I'll watch this for a bit. And then they went into the TARDIS. And they go into the TARDIS, and then they show inside the TARDIS. And I was like, oh my God, it's bigger on the inside than on the outside. And it just blew my mind. Because I'd never seen that before. Like, well, I watched the John, like I said, I watched the John Pertwee ones with the plastic dinosaur above the city. But they never went into the TARDIS, so I never saw that aspect of the show. And as soon as I saw that, it just won me over, and I never stopped watching it for a few years. They used to play it. There was a guy, I don't know his name, but he himself bought time on the local TV station, sold ads mostly to comic book shops and bookstores and locally, and then he would. So he would just buy the time midnight to 2 a.m. and run the Doctor Who show. So that was great. So I would watch them every weekend, you know. So I basically like Tom Baker is my guy, but he played Tom Baker. He did the Peter Davidson ones. He did the Colin Baker and the Sylvester McCoy. I went right to the bitter end. And when I say bitter end, it was bitter. Those Sylvester McCoy ones were hard to watch sometimes. But so I've seen a lot of doctors come and go. And then YTV played the youth television played the Hartnell, the early ones with Hartnell, and then I don't know the second one's name.
I knew it until
until I asked for it.
Yeah, until you said that.
Let's pretend that we said it.
Okay.
That guy. I'll put it in.
I probably got the action figure a
I'll
few
fix,
feet away.
We I'll fix it in post, and then John Pertwee. So they kind of covered.
And this is one of those bases where people are now screaming at their podcasts. They're yelling at us.
Yeah. Who? What's his name? I can't hear you. Yell a little louder. Still can't hear you. But so I've seen a lot of doctors, is what I'm trying to say. Like
the funny thing is, on the Critical Hit show last night, Sean Stewart, one of the guys, made a joke using that guy's name in it, and got very little laughs. And later he went, "I should have used Tom Baker." Like, yeah, you probably should have used Tom Baker. And
he went for the deep cut.
Yeah, he went for the deep cut, and I went like, "You could have gone." He's also an Omen. You might know him from that as well. He's got an Omen. He gets the old thing through the.
Is that right?
Yeah, he gets the fence. No, spire. Gets a spire through the chest.
Oh.
Yeah, he's the priest, and he gets killed.
It's been a long time. I don't even know if I saw that movie. I read the book, but I don't know if I saw the movie.
Okay.
So it's kind of odd.
Well, that's.
I would read a lot of novelizations as a junior high school student because I wasn't allowed to go see scary movies. So I read the novelization of Alien, the novelization of The Omen.
And you're just flipping the pages going, ah!
That's right. Who's scary? Actually, the scariest thing in The Omen is some guy who is in the Israeli army washes his hands in his own urine.
That was the scariest thing?
That was icky.
So much so that you peed your pants in fear. And he went, well, may as well wash my hands while I'm here.
Well, here, apparently it's the best antibacterial agent, urine. Doesn't make any sense to me.
You know what? Someone said that, and there were probably some fetishists who just went, yeah, you should really do that. Why? Is it the best?
I have to explain this.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Because you want your hands to smell like asparagus.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's some baseball players who wash their hands with their urine because it hardens your hands.
Yes, I have heard that as well.
But once again, it's probably complete bullshit.
I've heard that, like, workers, construction workers and whatever, you've got to do a lot of, like, pull on a rope or some
business. They just explain why they don't wash.
Also, they're just explaining why they got their dicks out.
Hey, lady!
Hey, what's going on with that? Just washing up. Are you? Are you really? I hate transitioning back to the doctor there, but yeah, it's clearly a biopic.
Yeah,
it's got all the bases in a biopic. Mm-hmm. You'll never. It's like it's always this. The first one, new person in the big city. Look at all the stuff. Holy cow! Listen, you gotta
dance.
Yeah, you're here. You got a dream, eh? I've got a dream to do a thing. Good for you. All right, well, you're gonna do it over there. I will. Here's the other people who are doing it. You'll never do it, sister. You're a schmuck. What? I'll tell you, I'm going to do it. Are you? Yes, right. I am.
I'm a lady and a Jew.
That's right.
I had to throw that in there.
Here comes an and he was Indian and he was homosexual. And then, you know, there's the obstacle. It's like, oh, this is going to end your way. Okay, well, I guess it's going to be a failure. Wrong. It's a bigger success than we ever thought it would be. Fantastic montage of riding high. Life is great. Then we're rolling in cash. And then, oh, something went wrong. And someone got cholera, cancer, Alzheimer's. It's time for the disease now. Flip. Oh, well, what are you going to do? Kind of sad ending. But wait, there's hope. There's hope. And what's the hope? The hope is they influence the future. And you know what? They really made that impact. Good for them. Sad song over the credits. So why they- Star Wars for some reason over the credits? That cost them a lot of money getting the Star Wars theme over the credits. So it follows that those beats. It does have a little surreal ending though, with a future doctor popping in for some reason.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I guess the idea of that was that was just to underline the fact that yeah, it carries on. Like, doesn't matter whatever happens to you. You know, it carries on. What I liked about the character of Sidney Newman, the Canadian head of production at the BBC.
Played by Brian Cox?
Played by Brian Cox, exactly.
In between really screwing stuff up for that Jason Bourne fella and fucking over Wolverine.
And screwing with the guy in Manhunter, because he was the first Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
And he was also in Rushmore.
He's everything.
Yeah, he's great.
But he's usually a jerk.
But he usually plays an American.
Yeah.
He's a British actor, mm-hmm. playing American. This show, he was playing Canadian. Mm-hmm. I like how he stretched.
Yeah,
he said sounded exactly
sorry.
The same.
He said sorry exactly maybe once or twice, yeah.
His Canadian, this, wow, I'm a Canadian guy. Pow, pow. Yeah. Wait a second, why? Is that how Canadians talk? Wait a second.
Maybe in the 60s.
That's terrible. Did. Listen, sister. But what I liked about him was, yeah, this is kind of idea factory, like the Avengers. He didn't create it, but he...
Says he came up with a name.
Came up with a name.
Now yeah. You make up what that's all about. Yeah. Have them avenge something.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's great. And then, now we have to let William Hartnell go. I guess that's the end of the show. Or is it? And then he has that little thought where he's thinking to himself. And he always says, pow, 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 is indicative of his quick wit, his surefire idea. So you have him thinking to himself and he kind of goes, pow. a thoughtful pow. And then he comes up with the idea of, hey, we don't have to get rid of the doctor. The doctor's an alien. The doctor can... regenerate.
So yeah, the idea of regeneration is a pretty pretty big one.
That's it's a brilliant idea if you want to have a long-running show,
yeah,
that will span generations, you know, because really generations, it doesn't matter who the doctor is, because each generation will have their own doctor.
Now don't you think this would have been the much simpler way to go? Like, say it's the 60s.
Okay.
William Hartnell's got to go away.
Yeah.
Okay, we can't use him anymore. Now you can go, and one person comes and goes like, how about they...
Okay, it's the 60s, so I imagine everyone is doing the twist while they're talking.
Sure.
Okay.
And so how about he regenerates? What's that mean? He becomes a totally different person.
Yeah.
Like, but is the same person, but just looks totally different and has a different personality. Okay, that's a bit of a broad idea. Interesting. How about this instead? He's a time traveler, right?
Yeah.
How about we just make him young? How about we just make him young and it's a different dude because he's young, but, you know, because it's time. We've established it's time related, right? Either one, we have the younger version of him who shows up,
yeah.
You know, who's also a time traveler, so they could, that's fair, or two, something in the TARDIS de-ages him, so now he's a young, good-looking guy, or however you want to be, he can mm-hmm. be the age of the next dude, that's fine, and he'll look different because he's younger, go have at it. Like, that seems
but that
to
works
make-
for that works for a while, but it's not a continuing idea. Like the regeneration into a new person.
Yeah, but you probably wouldn't be thinking many, many things down the line. You're just trying to solve your immediate problem.
No. So Sidney Newman was smarter than you. Pow, pow, pow.
Now, at this time, had the Doctor Who movies come out? With Cushing?
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe because... No. The first Cushing one is based on the Planet of the Daleks, right? The first one with Hartnell where they find the planet destroyed.
Well, I know the second one is Daleks for sure. Like, isn't the first one they go to a planet? No, I don't think there's Daleks in the first one. Is there?
I can't remember.
I don't think.
I thought they're both. What do you call them? Daleks.
I call them Daleks.
Okay, I say Daleks.
Richard Starkings calls them Daleks. So.
Well, he's British. He can. He's allowed to mangle words in a particular,
I think he probably knows
in a charming way. In a charming way.
Said. Now, I believe it was like a civilization, and maybe there were some Daleks involved. Mm. But yeah, I remember it's like a civilization, one of those Roby civilizations. Everyone's wearing loose-fitting cloth clothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Very Star Trek-y.
Potato sex?
Sexy potato sex.
Okay.
Yeah, and a lot of scrims around.
By the way, then, everybody, take a drink.
Yeah, we got the sirens going on again. There we go. Good luck to whoever's in that ambulance.
Yes. Good luck to you, sir.
Yeah.
Or Suress.
If we don't mention that every time, we hope the fire, mm-hmm. it was not a problem. We hope the ambulance, everything worked out for them.
We hope it's just
them.
A cat in the tree, and the cat is fine.
And we hope the police get that bastard.
Yes.
Get him. Now, yeah, so the Cushing ones were, yeah, based on those. So, yeah, maybe the option couldn't have
been. I think they're both Dalek, because that was the most popular thing at that point. So what else? There's no other... Like, there's just no way they could fund a film without
I remember the second one was pretty impressive. One, because they had the color Daleks. And then they also had used kind of areas of London that were destroyed in the Blitz that mm-hmm. still were destroyed. Mm-hmm. And so it really looked like,
they were still destroyed in the 70s.
Yeah, it looked like, oh, man, those robots really fucked up the town. Mm-hmm. Holy cow, this mm-hmm. looks terrible. And it's like, no, the Nazis got here first before your Daleks.
That was an interesting part of the show, though, as well, is they show the Garleks when they're first made. And they have the little blue dots on them. I always picture them as black.
Right.
And so they show them in there, and they're blue. So.
And they show the actors who all play the Herb Tarleks. And and so on and so forth.
You couldn't think of something to say. Show them inside.
I could, but
they show
them
inside trying to work inside these tiny little containers where they have to walk around on their crouch position. It's really terrible.
Did you see? We'll get to the actual anniversary special in a second. Did you see the five-ish Doctor special?
The five-ish Doctor special.
No, you haven't.
No, that was the one that kind of parody by.
You could say parody, but it's not parody. It's actually like a side story.
Okay.
So it's Peter Davidson wrote and directed it.
Okay.
And it's better than it should be. You hear the concept and go like, oh, that'll be, you know, that's okay, pretty all right.
I saw it, but I just did not have time to look at it, and then it kind of got away from me.
So. Yeah, it's worth a download. It's worth a watch on the BBC. Mm-hmm. And it actually ends in, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it ends in a sweet, clever way that you're like, that's actually pretty good. Good for you.
I did like him as the Doctor. I thought he was very good. And for someone who had to take over from Tom Baker, which is like really hard to do, you know, to take over from this guy who'd been doing the show for 7 years and was kind of cemented in people's minds as the Doctor.
We were in line together for drinks 3 weeks ago.
Oh, that's right.
Then the next week, he was at Buckingham Palace.
Mm.
So there.
Yeah.
La-di-da.
Helping the Queen with her chocolate.
Offering her a stick of celery to clean those teeth. But he is, I've said this previously, he's like the sweetest guy in the damn world. Couldn't have been nicer. They had all the doctors that felt like it go to Buckingham Palace and do their doctor-y
stuff. That's right.
Yeah.
I saw an image of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. So now to the actual 50th anniversary special.
The 50th anniversary special.
Right. Now, what did you think of this?
I quite enjoyed it, actually. I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I particularly liked it because there was very little to nothing of people talking about what they're going to do. Like, I really started hating the declaiming Doctor, where he would stand, you know, doing this long monologue about, you know, who he was, why he was scary to this person or alien thing, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, this is long monologue, and you're just like, this is a lot of work for an actor, and why? Like, why does he have to do all these monologues every episode? Can't they just show him doing something? Like, I like the action Doctor. That's what I want. Not the
well. It was nice also
Shakespearean
with
monologue.
The
doctor.
John Hurt character was able to kind of take the piss out of them. You know, when they were talking too much. Like, do you ever do anything but talk? Do you have to wave your hands around like all the time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it was genuinely. It was one of the funniest episodes
mm-hmm.
I've seen for a while.
Yeah,
and you get Matt Smith and David Tennant together, and it's like, oh, they guys, they're just having fun.
Yeah,
just go to town.
Yeah,
like, I know we got a plot to get to, but you mm-hmm. know, take as much time in the woods as you want, guys. Knock yourselves out.
Yeah,
it's fine. And very pretty Elizabeth.
Very well done.
Yeah, she was good. She's from the show Gavin and Stacey.
Okay.
She's also in Love Actually as the porn actress.
Oh, is that who she is? Okay.
Yeah, she's also in that.
I quite like that movie.
Yes.
Because I'm a romantic.
There's a film out right now called About Time mm-hmm. by the director of Love Actually.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
director of Four Weddings and a Funeral. Mm-hmm. Also a writer.
His name is Richard Curtis.
And let me tell you.
Also wrote Blackadder.
It's a three-tissuer.
Is that right?
You might need a little, you know, if you ever had a relationship with, say, a family member, maybe something happens. Maybe you need a little Kleenex. But it's hilarious, and it's about time travel.
Okay.
And it's well worth a watch.
And did you go see it in the theater?
I saw it in the motion picture theater.
Okay.
I had a little popcorn.
Yes.
I had a soda because I wasn't off sugar at the time.
Yeah, okay.
And I didn't know much about it at all. And damn if I wasn't pleasantly surprised. But I saw it while I was missing my wife. So maybe that added more to it.
Yeah, that would add to it. Yeah,
your old romantic comedy vulnerable. Family thing. Yeah, you know, the guy. The guy will bring a tear out of you, you know, in the middle of a laugh. Okay, back to Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So you got John Hurt taking the piss, doing all that kind of stuff. Here's the one thing that I'll start with what I did not care for.
All right, Mr. Negative. Here start there.
First, clearly a 3D movie. So there's a lot of moments where you're just like everything but taking the bolo bat and like whacking the ball in your face. Like all those.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, he's like, here's the painting that you can see inside. And they're doing this
okay,
one.
Or yeah,
like a lot
yeah.
of sweeping camera stuff that you're like, clearly this was a 3D movie eventually. By the way, it was the second most popular movie in the States after Hunger Games.
Well, there's nothing playing worth watching.
But it was only on for a day.
Yeah, no,
that's great. That's the impressive bit.
But that also will add to your box office as well.
Right. But here was the thing that I
that is impressive.
Right. Like, people have wanted to see the Time War for a long time. And they've set up, like, it was spread around the universe. And, and when you see the Paul McGann episode, like, everyone's, you know, they're destroying everything.
Yeah.
The Time Lords are as bad as the Daleks. Okay, all right, fair enough. Let's see what this is. And you're going like, well, the Time Lords, they got the TARDIS technology, things bigger on the inside. They got, they regenerate when they're shot. This will be really impressive. And everyone's going, pew, pew. And the other guys are going, pew, 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 pew.
Yeah.
Like, you're just doing laser shoots. Like, what the hell is that about? Mm-hmm. I can see the Daleks doing that.
Yeah.
But, like, you're the Time Lords for crying out loud.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit small.
Yeah,
small scale.
It looked like a game of Halo.
Yeah.
It looked like a video game, and it looked like, all right, that's fine. And they're all around their floaty, their table with their holographic stuff, and I'm like, that's fine, but we've seen that a gigabillion times. You know, you're Time Lord. Show us, you know, what do? Do you just keep going back farther in time and fucking things up and, like, affecting history to try and, you know, deal with this kind of thing? Or what's up with you?
Well, there are rules about that they can't. I mean, maybe they break it.
That's what I'm thinking.
War.
I'm thinking they're breaking the rules. You know, and also I wanted to see at least one or two the soldiers get shot, then, like, regenerate, then come back as a different dude. And, you know, what's that about?
Yeah.
But no, none of that.
And they get shot again and then regenerate again.
Yeah. They're Time Lords.
They're confused.
What's cool about Time Lords? These three things.
Yeah.
Well, let's see them do that and not just stand around a table like they're the Krypton Council who just went, I guess Jor-El was right.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been that. It was just too generic. And I wanted to see Timothy Dalton. I was hoping he would be there. Because he's a
That's
Time
your
Lord.
Big disappointment.
There's only one famous Time Lord, right? Have that guy show up.
Yeah.
You know, we know he's there. Mm. You know, have him say a couple of things.
Okay.
You know?
Okay,
that was my negative.
I would agree with you. I didn't.
Completely.
It didn't spoil it for me. I would agree with you that the war part of it. I disagree with you in a way. Like what you're saying is I want it to be more complicated, and really that's beside the point,
I want to see it be more true to what they are, not less generic. I felt it was too generic.
I would agree with you, but I just, once again, I think what you're suggesting would make it very complicated to show, like, how are you going to show them changing time and...
Oh, here's how you're going to show them turning into another guy. Pew!
No, no,
fall
that,
down,
that I
new
do
dude.
Like. No, no,
pew,
that,
another
that idea
guy.
I like, that idea I like. But going back in time and this sort of, how would you show that... I mean, it seemed like that they really tried to scale it down so that you're just seeing like a very small part of what was happening. You know, you just see the doctor there, writes no more, you know, think bad things are happening. And then we just leave that entirely and go into something else.
Right.
You know, and in a way, you don't want to overdo that part of it because, you know, how you're kind of setting the scene, you're kind of setting the tone of the movie as well.
Yeah.
And so if you make that too much, too negative, too crazy, you know, then when they're goofing around and having fun in Elizabethan times and all this stuff like that, you're like, okay, that's fine, but people are dying, you know?
Well, but that's the Doctor Who mix. There's always something horrible happening, really horrible, especially in your Russell T. Davies episodes.
Yeah.
You still got Jokey Jokerson.
Well, usually in the Russell T. Davies ones, to be fair, it's Doctor Who doing the horrible things to someone. So,
it could be.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, he will have a Dalek really kill you in a horrible, horrible way or something terrible happen. But here was the other bit that to me was a little bit, I don't know about that. It's like you got your John Hurt. Right?
Yes, you do have him.
Who's better actor than John Hurt? William Hurt? I don't know, maybe.
Whose name is Hurt? Is that from...
Yeah, anyone named
is
Hurt.
Is that the limit?
The guy from the Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
That guy's also pretty good.
Okay. Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner.
Renner.
Renner. Whatever.
Yeah.
Runner. Free Runner. The
Free
Running
Runner.
Man.
Yeah.
Or
as I like to call him, Sausage Face.
Sure.
Okay.
Old Bangers and Mash. Yes. So the last time we saw John Hurt, he was changing from Paul McGann to John Hurt, and a young John Hurt.
Yeah.
So we're going, by the time we see him, he's been through some shit. Mm-hmm. He is a, and we know these guys do not age fast.
Yeah.
He's been through some shit.
Yeah.
So what I would like to see from a John Hurt is a little bit of like, I've been at this war for a long time.
Yeah.
And he is now, he's the warrior.
You want a monologue from him?
I don't want a monologue.
You really want more monologues?
I want a fucking montage. I want to see something or someone to go like, that guy is brutal. You know, something. You know, but the first time we see him, he's just like, I don't know. I don't want to do this no more. I'm done. It's like, okay, that's fair. But you haven't, you've gone from Paul McGann. I'm going to become a warrior. Okay. Yeah. Now you're the warrior. Bang, bang. You are the warrior. And now you're the warrior. And
there's a guy in a car asking him to come out and play.
Yes.
Warrior.
Tink, 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 tink.
Come out and play.
I would like to have seen him being non-doctorly.
Yeah.
And that so that when he becomes Dr. Lee, we go, it's been a change. But we never got to see him be that. He's just going, I don't know, maybe I should do this thing. I don't know. Maybe I should. I don't know. Maybe. No, I don't know. Maybe, but no. Yes. Nope, I shouldn't. Nope.
Well, I feel like I feel like Jeremy Renner is a very good actor. And that, you know, he shows a lot of pain in what he's doing without us needing to know all the backstory. Do you know what I mean? So you can have a bit of backstory. You can show him shopping at the co-op in Aldergrove and, you know, living in a house in Aldergrove where it's very rainy and obviously depressing there. So he wants to go back to Iraq. So you understand that part of his character, but you don't need to have it all spelled out for you.
Still?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if you heard me. But I don't think you need it all spelled out. And I think if an actor is good enough, so if you have a John Hurt,
yeah,
he can play Caligula and he can make it seem real, even though it's just on television.
Okay. But but here's the thing with Caligula and in I, Claudius. I'm fine with going I, Claudius, buddy. I'll do it. Because you know what? Claudius was the master. So you've tied it all back to Doctor Who. This is the fun thing about watching I, Claudius now. You're going, hey, look at that. Hey, look, there's the master. Yeah. And who's bugging him? There's the doctor. Yeah. Oh, well, who's this guy? Jean-Luc Picard just walked into the room. Boom. That's a now interesting sci-fi.
It is.
If you do sci-fi I, Claudius. Sci Claudius. That's what you do.
There you go.
Sci-fi Claudius. That would be even better. I should have done that. But
the first one sounds like he was psychic.
It was.
Psychic Claudius.
But I guess my problem is when you've said like this guy's different, I'd rather see it than just go, yeah, I heard he was different.
Well, you do see it. You see it in him. You see it in his attitude and his face and his
He looks like he's
actions.
Been through some shit.
Yeah.
But he looks like he's been
you
through
don't need
some
to show it.
But he looks like he's been through some shit in the same way that a doctor would. Like not a warrior doctor.
No, he looks
doctor.
Different. He looks different than the doctor looks.
Really? Cuz like just a I give up. I don't Like when you saw Christopher Eccleston, there was a couple of moments there where he was really fucked up.
Yeah.
Like in the first season, where he's like he sees the Dalek and like I'm gonna kill that motherfucker, and he's like no don't and then later he has to make the choice of whether to blow everything up and chooses not to.
Yeah.
It's like killer or coward, and he's like coward every time. All right, which means like he's been through some stuff, but
it just
feels like I'm the show don't tell.
That feeds into his story too, and I'm. But I don't think they're telling. I think they're showing.
With just the heavy shoulders?
Yeah. I think that they're showing through characterization, through what he's doing. Like, I think, you know, his attitude is totally different than the other two doctors who have obviously, one is forgotten, one has...
The one who regrets and the one who forgets,
yeah.
As they said.
And so I felt like, I mean, I'm not just, you know, sure, if you want to have it spelled out for you and have lots of shots of him shooting things and running around while Eye of the Tiger's playing,
or
that's fine.
Somebody mentions... That guy's the most brutal guy I've ever seen in a fight. Or something.
Yeah,
like someone just throw it. Because we've set up, you know, who's that guy? That guy's the fuck machine. Really? Yeah, that's who he is. You know, that's what we do. And then, like, the next time you see him, he's just, like, looking a little sleepy. It's like, maybe just refer to what happened.
Sure, okay.
Okay.
Other than your major complaints about the show that ruined it for you, I really enjoyed it. And I really felt like I said, I just felt like it was a good mix of the space opera element of the Doctor, which I like, of the, you know, the earthbound part of it that I like.
Nice time travel with the
lots of nice time travel and fun and a fun typical Moffatian bit of of a genre twist with the things hiding in the paintings.
Yes.
With the, I can't remember the name of those creatures, the John Zorns.
The sucker faces.
The Jeremy Renners that were hiding in the pictures. And I like that as a, you know, so then they do it. And those are great twists. It reminded me of the season with the box, the Panjoricum, was that what it's called? Do you remember what it was called?
I knew it again before you said that. I've got it a couple of feet away from me. I could go, Pandorica?
The Pan Conundrum,
yeah,
that he was in. It reminded me of that season where you had time travel really being time travel, where, yeah, I can fix this by time traveling, you know, and I can do this and I can do that and I can make all these things work.
Yeah, the thing, the bit with the door was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like, I can take the readings now, 100 years later it's you, 400 years later it's you, now it's done it, and then the person comes in, this wasn't unlocked, this wasn't locked.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, okay, you boobs were like,
yeah,
you know, just thinking, overthinking it so much, which actually was a really nice way of showing why he needs a companion,
because
this guy gets lost in his own head too much. It's like, someone has to go, just walk through it.
Yeah.
Just go that way.
No, it was, I mean, I really enjoyed it, so, and I wasn't prepared to. I felt like the last season of Doctor Who was very weak.
Yes.
It was a very weak season, and it was a lot of... I just felt like Moffat's attention was divided between Sherlock and Doctor Who, and I just felt like the script suffered. And everyone did great. There was an episode, it was a terrible episode, of on a planet with an old amusement park that was...
Neil Gaiman wrote that one.
Yeah. And there's a scene, I think, that was one where...
That was probably the worst episode of the season.
But Matt Smith was acting up a storm.
Oh, yeah, he had to,
and just really carrying the story. Because, yeah, he had to, because it was terrible. And so I felt like everyone was contributing as much as they could to it. But the stories were letting people down. And although I wasn't always a fan of Russell T. Davies' stories, I always felt like he kind of gave up near the end of each script that he wrote. At some point, he just kind of went, yeah, whatever, and just kind of...
If you read The Writer's Tale, his book...
You know why?
Well, it wasn't... It was just like, he's making it up as he's going along. So sometimes, you know...
Well, that's
like,
why.
I just got to be done. Here's the pages. Well,
because
get
he's late. Because he's always late.
Yeah.
He's a procrastinator, and so he didn't have time to go back over it and clean it up. But Russell D. Davies himself said that Moffat's scripts were the only ones that he didn't rewrite. So he was someone who was... You know, doing very strong stuff, and you know, we all love his episodes, whether it's Blink or the other ones that we liked by him that I can't think of. But you know,
the one where he gets married in the past.
Clockwork Girl,
the one with the watch. Oh, the girl in the fireplace.
I think that's his. Yeah, because that's another time travel one that has real like time travel-y sense of it, of her aging and him.
I think like just in a big looking back at some of the Russell T. Davies things recently, and I was watching this episode, it, like the 50th anniversary one. It's classic Moffat in that nobody's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think a perfect Moffat episode for him is everyone's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think if he did the Captain Jack one, are you my mummy?
Yeah, he did that one.
Yeah. And that was the first one.
The Dr. Dances.
It was the first one where nobody dies.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing. Nobody dies tonight. And like almost all the Moffat ones after that, even like the one with the Weeping Angels, Blink, they don't die. They just go back in time. And they live their lives that way, which is almost more horrific than dying. You know, you're gonna be out of time.
Yeah.
But like, I think that's one of that was one of the strengths of a Moffat episode in a Russell T. Davies season. And it was a detriment in when he takes over the whole thing is Russell T. Davies will kill people
left
brutally.
Right, yeah.
Like it's the old British sci-fi thing. Like you watch a British sci-fi thing, it's gonna end bad.
Yeah. Whether it's Space 1999 or whatever.
Whatever it is.
It seems grim and
it's grim
dreary.
And things are really, really hard. But Russell would kill people. Like he would have the automatons or whatever come out and just start shooting up a town.
Yeah.
Like and people would be dying and the Daleks would kill like everybody and it would just be brutal. Characters you loved. Comic relief characters would get shot.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
Yeah.
And then when you had a Moffat episode, you were like, ah, everyone's fine. But in Moffat land, everything's fine. So there's no stakes. So the only stakes they have is we're going to kill the Doctor. And you're like, we're not going to kill the Doctor. So clearly there's no stakes in that. Well, maybe we'll kill Amy. Are you going to kill Amy? I don't think you're going to kill Amy. Russell would kill Amy. He'd kill her in a heartbeat. And, you know, have a sad husband and they'd be traveling together. He'd do it. But like, because you know you're in Moffat land, everything's cushiony and soft.
Yeah.
And just like that episode with the kids that you're talking about where they go to the amusement park. It's just like everything's fine. No one's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
There's no point in this. So there's no stakes. And now we're all just fluffy, fluffy good times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it doesn't work. You need the danger. You need to know that the wolf is at the door and might attack at any second, you know, to really, you know, be able to bounce it off. Otherwise,
do you need that?
Well, you do, because you need some sort of stakes. Whether you can also go with emotional stakes.
Yeah.
You know, like the doctor's heart might
get broken. You're right. No one ever dies. I'm just thinking back to old Doctor Who, and I'm just thinking. Yeah, I mean, characters are killed. I just.
And horribly, like big, horrible swamp monsters would just like take a soldier and like, like soldiers would get killed like crazy.
Well, that's what soldiers are for.
Yeah, and Russell.
That's their job.
Russell will kill a kid. Russell doesn't care.
Yeah.
And that's what you need with a show that kids watch. You need to know that, like, yeah, we'll kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. So now let's go. And
he doesn't have kids. It's easy for him.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that, yeah, that is the George Lucas problem. And the Spielberg problem is once they have kids, all of a sudden they can't do the films that they used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Spielberg regrets the ending to Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you know, because Richard Dreyfuss goes off with the aliens and he goes like, "That's a horrible ending. I'd never do that now."
Yeah.
It's like, well, then you could never do Close Encounters now, yeah. And we'd be the worst for it, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
it's true though, but it's a lot harder to write that kind of thoughtlessness when you're a parent.
Yeah, yeah. You actually need the shallower. Person,
you need to be Quentin Tarantino in your 20s to make Reservoir Dogs or Pulp Fiction. You know, you can't do that when you're in your 40s.
Yeah, you need to be a little bit of an asshole. You need to be able to hurt the audience a little bit to be able to have that nice salve, which is the doctor give you the relief. But yeah, that episode with the Neil Gaiman one was just so the worst, because all of a sudden, for no reason. Claire, you know, she's like a nanny, and we've kind of forgotten that. It's like, well, the kids just figured out your secret identity, and now they're blackmailing you into taking them into space.
Yeah.
And it's just, well, go fuck off with that. There's so much wrong with that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, every time you go into space, you almost die.
Yeah.
So you taking the kids into space, well, you're the worst person in the world right now. You're a terrible, terrible person. Well,
to be fair.
Please be fair.
There is a sense in these doctors, which you never got from the old Doctor Who's, that they occasionally do other things than always are under. You know what I mean? Like, they'll mention something they did, that they went somewhere and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We're only seeing like the exciting, the interesting things that happened to them. We're not seeing them going to the market on.
I guess the way I always figured it was, and maybe I'm wrong, is that the way I saw it, at least with the current doctors, is where are we going? We're going to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Wait, something happened. Where are we now? We're in the middle of a volcano. When? In the year 3060. Why is that? Because we got to rescue this family from the volcano. So basically the TARDIS goes, we're not doing that. We're going here.
Yeah.
You know, and the doctor is not in charge really of where he goes. He's got a loose idea.
Well, it's always been that way.
Yeah, he's got a loose idea, but the TARDIS brings him to where he's needed, and then stuff happens. You can try to go
I've never thought of it that way, but it's true. I mean, in the old episode, like the Tom Baker ones, the point is made that he can't control where the TARDIS is going to show up.
It's got its own feelings.
It has. Well, it's just, it's broken.
Well, it's broken, but only takes him to where he's needed. Like, it never takes him.
I never thought about it that way.
It never takes him seconds after
I just thought it was the pure coincidence. I thought it was pure coincidence.
Well, then it's a lucky coincidence that every time he's there right at the moment where it's time to save someone, and then he makes a major decision that, like, saves a whole bunch of lives.
Well, it's possible, but we may not see the times where he comes a moment later and the person's already been dragged off and killed, and he just goes, has a picnic with Sarah Jane Smith, and they get back in the TARDIS and leave.
Well, Dave, let me fanfic you here for a little bit.
Please don't, but okay.
All right. Here's the other stupid Neil Gaiman one, where the TARDIS was a lady and was talking to him and all that kind of stuff. Did not care for that.
No.
But here's the way I kind of look at it is, you say the TARDIS is broken.
She's a lady.
But I think the doctor is broken. And the TARDIS knows what the doctor needs, and the doctor needs to help people.
Okay.
So, you know, even when he's having his glum periods, and, you know, because when he's, because he goes through those. Where
that wasn't a part of his character before.
I'm saying the new doctor, especially.
Okay.
Is the TARDIS goes, he needs this. I'm going to take him to where he's needed and where he's busy. There used to be a comic I liked called The Boz Chronicles, and it was about an alien, the alien was
Alan Moore.
Was it Alan?
Or maybe Stephen Grant.
Yeah, Stephen Grant. Okay. That does make more sense. And it was an alien that was super intelligent, stuck on Earth, and was going to commit suicide.
Yeah.
But
in Victorian times.
Yeah, in Victorian times, and they had him solve mysteries to keep his brain interested. Otherwise, he'd go crazy.
Yeah.
And I think that's a similar thing idea for the Doctor. Is like, this is a guy who's like so intelligent, you know, and you know, if you just leave him to his own thoughts too long, he goes nuts.
Yeah.
And they've set that up a couple of times. He needs a companion. He needs someone to keep him regular, and he needs things to do. So that's the way that sort of plays out.
Yeah.
But what do you think about the big twist here on that? Again, spoilers on this episode.
Yeah, if you haven't watched it.
Where he does not commit genocide. He makes the choice to not do that, which, again, is a real Moffat-y choice to make.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I like it as well.
Yeah.
But what do you think of it?
I liked it. What I liked about it most of all was the fact that they won't remember.
Yeah, because otherwise things would be all screwed up.
Yeah. So I like the fact that they do this great thing. You know, they have this great idea that they're able to do this great thing, but
Matt Smith remembers. His doctor remembers.
His doctor will remember?
Yes.
But the others won't. Yeah, because it's not in their timeline. And so, yeah, I really like that element of sacrifice. You know, just the fact that you're doing something great, but you can't know that you did something great, you know. I think Moffat writes some of the cleverest scripts. And I agree with you that and I never thought about that before, but yeah, that taking away that element of risk, taking away that Davies, you know, I'll fuck you up, you know, part of the Doctor, or even just the I would prefer it was more the villains that were, Davies almost twisted and makes the Doctor more dangerous than the villains are, or more scary than the villains are. Mm. You know, I don't think that's an adult take on the Doctor.
Well, his villains, Russell T. Davies' villains, for the most part, I found, are not wahaha evil.
There,
I don't care. And so they let the horrible thing happen through apathy.
Yeah, or they're just doing their thing. Like, I'm thinking of the episode with the spider. I think that's early Donna one with the big giant spider creature that's going to lay its eggs and and the Doctor kills all the babies and you're kind of like, aw.
Well, she confronts him on it, just like she sees him going to that dark side.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a nice moment of, you know, in a normal movie, in your James Bond movie or your Riddick movie, you go, yay! But this isn't for what the Doctor does.
Yeah, yeah.
He finds another way to do it.
Yeah.
And to me, that was the best part of this was, you know, flashing back to Man of Steel. It really feels like there's a lot of things lately that have gone anti-Man of Steel. The old Man of Steel at the ending, well, he doesn't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know what? You got a choice. There's always a choice. And if you're the Doctor, you've got a choice.
Yeah.
And that's what he realizes. Well, like, there is always another way.
Yeah.
And he finds it. And you can be the cynical, well, sometimes there isn't. But you know what? In fiction, there is. You know, and there should be. The Doctor should be above that.
Yeah.
And he should be something that you know, he should be a role model. And that did work for me.
I also liked the idea of Bad Wolf, you know, that has written itself through history, you know, when Rose became part of the TARDIS and then wrote herself back through history as Bad Wolf, that I don't know what you call it, that organism or that power,
entity?
That entity, yeah, that's a good word, entity, also is in Time Lord technology as well. And so the moment, this incredible killing machine, has this aspect of her in it as well. So that's something that's happened recently. Do you know what I mean? But because she did it through time, back all the way through time, that entity is there.
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it. The way I picked up on it was, she said, I'm being this person from your past or your present. I get confused. So she's Time Lord technology.
But she says, but she mentions Bad Wolf. Only Rose is Bad Wolf.
No, though. I got that.
Yeah.
But she's getting it. She says to him, I'm using this, basically, a character from your past or your future.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, and so she's a little bit messed up, like all fucking, you know, technology from those Time Lords.
Yeah.
You know what? Double check your work. Measure twice, cut once, Time Lords. Well, so it could go either way on that.
Well, one of her... I always think occasional listeners, Gavin Pitts, mm-hmm. our Australian friend, he said that he would have liked to see Liz Sladen do Sarah Jane Smith in, do that role. And in a way, it would have worked better and differently to be Bad Wolf and have her appear as Sarah Jane Smith, because Bad Wolf can appear as anyone. Having it appear as Rose ties it too closely to what we already familiar with as you know, if that's so. I kind of think maybe it's possible that they might have chosen a different companion to be that character.
Well, the other, I mean, again, we can get deep with
it. But you know what I'm saying, right?
I do. Like, you could also, I mean, the cheese ball thing you could do too is you could have, if you had the technology, rotate through the characters. And whoever. Well,
it's hard. There's
different perspectives.
She's the only one who's come back, so we're used to her as young and old. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
well, you could easily have Donna show up. You could easily have Marcia. You could easily have some others
Donna's. Well, okay.
And then you want to then have what I figured was going to come up was his granddaughter was finally going to show up, because they really seemed to be teasing that.
Yeah.
They were showing the bulletin board with a big picture of her on it. It was like, mm-hmm. they're really showing her a lot. I wonder if they're going to like bring her and just go, Grandpa, this isn't you. And do okay. that, really tie it into the beginning, because they had the opening credits. Be the opening credits. Like,
that was cool.
Maybe we're going to do that.
But that was something I really liked too. I watched it with Phyllis, and she was so excited by that opening.
Yeah.
Because she'd never really seen it before, and she really liked it. And she's like, that's how the song should be. He said they've taken away the tune of the song from the credits.
Well, it was great after watching A Journey Through Time and Space, where you actually see that being created, and then have...
They don't talk too much about Delia Derbyshire and Ron Granger.
No, they should have done a bit more. I picture everyone in the movie theater when that started, and you saw the old credits just like screaming. It's like, that's how you do it. But my feeling on having Rose there was, he is now basically he's a beaten down man. And he's full of hate in his heart, more than he's
ever
had.
But he doesn't know who Rose is.
No, I got you.
Okay.
I got you. It's an imperfect system.
Okay.
So he's got a lot of hate in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what counters hate? Because basically you've got the machine going, I've got to debate this with him.
Apathy counters hate.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think if we learned anything in our culture today.
Well, that's one way to go. Or the other way is love. So the machine, having to debate this point as best it could, goes like, who has the doctor loved more than anyone else? And it reached through all of time and went, her, grab, that's who it is. Even though it fucked up. And
went, I don't like that, but okay.
Okay.
I hate that part of her character.
That they love each other?
That he loved her more than anyone else.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like that.
It adds a thing of tragedy to him that I think works now, especially that you've taken away the genocide. You got to have him a little bit of sad in there. And now that we've taken away this one thing, what's he to be sad about?
Well, no, he still thinks to him the time war still happened.
Matt Smith doesn't, and whoever the next guy is doesn't. So that's gone. So now his motive, he's not going to be doing the Christ pose like Tennant every episode going, I have seen the stars explode. It's like, all right, calm down.
I'm going to be electrocuted in this pose. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, enough for that. I'm a Canadian, see?
Yeah. The other nerdy part of me is like, oh, this is when David Tennant was really fucked up in the series and knew he was about to die and was really depressed. And so was kind of, you know, taking his trip around Europe.
I hated that too.
Yeah.
Those are the two worst parts of Doctor Who that have ever existed.
So you're getting
the Rose relationship.
Oh,
which
no.
Totally overblown.
Disagree.
Totally overblown and against the Doctor's character. And he's already had companions die, by the way.
No, I get that. That's fine. But you haven't. Okay, here's how I look at it. Russell Davies, he's a romantic at heart, I think. So you've got your Christopher.
He's a romantic child murderer.
When we see Christopher, yeah, he can be. when you see Christopher Eccleston,
yes,
that guy's fucked up.
Okay.
That guy's coming off of the time war.
Okay.
He thinks he's committed genocide
with,
you know, the Daleks and his own people. He's the last of his own people. He's never been more alone.
Yeah.
And he's a loner. He's not got a companion. Doesn't want a companion.
He's an introvert.
That's right. He needs his time alone.
That's right.
And then Rose meeting him, you know, and meeting Rose changes him, and he becomes a better person for knowing her. And then that blossoms in the next generation into love. And I can see at his most vulnerable time ever, you know, he might be able to open himself up to that. That does not work for me. Later, when you've got, you know, it wouldn't. And I'm glad they didn't go with it with Marcia or Donna or, you know, Amy or whatever.
Who's Marcia?
It was Smith. What am I thinking?
Oh, Martha.
Martha. Sorry about that.
Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember either.
Marcia Brady. Do you remember the episode where
it's always
like,
Marcia, Marcia, Marcia?
That's right.
Okay.
But did you feel that the story worked? Like the emotional beats played out and the whole thing as a film?
Worked? In the 50th?
In the 50th,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I thought it was really well. Like I said, I thought it was really well done. I thought it was good.
It added hope at the end. Mm-hmm. It took away, again, it took away the cynicism. You know, and that's one thing with like Russell, you know, bless him, but I think there is the cynicism running through. Yeah. There's the undercutting of that. Boy, you get Moffat and him together, I think you've got something fucking good. If you could just get those two back together again, or whoever the next guy is or gal, you got to mix those two together mm-hmm. and have that happen. What'd you think of the former doctor returning at the end?
Was it the former doctor returning
or whatever?
At the end?
It was a.
I like the Tom Baker. I like the Tom Baker made.
Dippy.
Yeah, I like the Tom Baker made an appearance. I choose to believe that he isn't Tom Baker. I choose to believe that he isn't Doctor Who.
Yeah.
That he's just a character who looks like Tom Baker, who's playing a character. Because Doctor
Who. Yeah, yeah,
when Doctor Who regenerated, he did not look like
that. Well, you don't want a specific answer on that guy anyway. Yeah. That guy really should be a mystery.
That's right.
Just showed up.
Yeah.
He's the caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
Good enough.
Sure, yeah.
The background is the old circles, you know, on the wall. It's really sweet.
Yeah.
There you go. But, yeah, it was nice. It was nice seeing them have a weird off. Just like, oh, yeah, you're weird, and you're weird, but you're sweet, but you're weird, but you're sweet. And yeah, the Gallifrey Falls no more. You know, just taking that weight off his shoulders and just like, all right, now go have some adventures. Unfortunately, the next episode, I believe, like, this is his last episode. So that's
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen the poster for that?
No, what is it?
It has a sonic screwdriver laying in the snow, and then quite a bit in the distance is the TARDIS sort of shrouded in mist, and there's blood spattered around the sonic screwdriver.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about that. I don't care for that. I don't care for the Doctor dies again. I've had a whole season of that shit.
Yeah.
I've had a season of that with David Tennant knowing he's going to die. I don't care about the Doctor dying. That doesn't...
Well, he doesn't die. He regenerates, so I don't want to make such a big fuss about it.
Well, actually, they're making a big fuss about it now, saying because Moffat has said that this is the last... because this is the 13th. I don't know how that adds up to 13. But this is the last one with Matt Smith. I know we got Pete coming up to bat.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be apparently the he's not going to regenerate into him. That's not how they're doing it. This is the end for this line of doctors, they say.
That is ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous. The only thing I can think of is they've got another guy who'll just take on the title and go on from that, and then they'll...
No, that's terrible.
I understand that that's terrible. I'm just telling you what the Daily Mirror said.
The Daily Mirror can kiss my ass.
Dave, come on now. It's our third season. There's no need for that sort of potty mouth.
I think we've established where we're going for this season.
All right. How are we doing for time?
I think we should...
Lord?
How are we doing for time? I think we should wrap it up.
All right. Sounds good.
With a bow.
Absolutely. So thank you very much for listening. Let's do our plug skis right now. The only thing really to plug. Oh, I got two things to plug.
Okay.
One, I'll plug my book on Kindle, which is it's about tolerance stupid.
Yes.
And it's a survival guide for life in the arts, specifically improv. Yeah. But for any creative endeavor, or just, you know, basically doing anything you love and the things that make you quit. That kind of thing. So anyway, that's up on Kindle. It's been selling better than I thought it would. So thanks for those of you who are buying it. There's a technical problem with me getting paid there. I'm trying to sort my way through that mess.
Okay.
But I appreciate you doing it.
So you're getting emails like, what, you expected to get paid?
Well, they're asking me for this tax number that as a Canadian I do not have.
Oh.
But my tax number is valid for what is necessary. It's
common. Okay.
Let me just give you my social insurance number on the air, and
sure,
I'll explain.
Sure.
And also my PIN number.
And your mother's maiden name.
Speaking of money.
Mm-hmm. And your first pet's name?
Do you know what's really annoying is when you reach into your pocket, you got a $20 bill.
And there's chocolate in it.
Yeah. But also, let me go with a different gag.
Okay.
Sorry. No, that's fine.
I like the callback.
No, it's a fine. Actually, I would have done the callback, too.
Oh, okay. But
Dave,
have a funnier one in mind.
How many times have you reached into your pocket and you cut your finger on that $20 bill? That paper cut?
Countless times.
Damn it. I wish I had somewhere to put this $20 bill. Charity? Yes. Fuck no. I'm not doing that.
How about
bootstraps is what they need.
How about in your wallet?
In my wallet?
Yeah. If you keep it in your wallet, then it's safe there.
Oh, now I got to spend how much on a wallet? $160? That's what the average wallet costs, and I ain't got that kind of money.
No one does.
What I say is, you take that $20.
Yeah.
Or whatever. however much. I'm trying to remember what our shirts cost. Anyway, go onto our website and buy some of our merch. Okay. We've got t-shirts.
We have t-shirts.
You're like, I love the t-shirts you've got, but I've seen them all. Hey, shut your damn mouth. You have not.
I'm never that rude.
Dave has put up his Play Dragon shirt. Was it Play Dragon?
That's right.
Yeah, Play Dragon shirt. If you like pornography and dragons, this is the shirt for you to tell everyone
about.
If you
want to advertise your tastes, your peculiar tastes.
If you're what they call a flamer, which is someone who likes pornography and dragons, I believe. Nice. I think that's what the slang term means.
There you go.
This is the shirt for you.
Sure.
Also, if you, I do this D&D show called The Critical Hit Show, and in there, there's an inside joke about a person that I worship as this cleric.
Your particular deity.
Is a gentleman named Peter,
yep.
who is a subsidiary of the Pepsi Cola Corporation.
Oh, okay.
So we have Peter shirts as well on sale. You know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, why not wear a shirt that's so inside that even you don't get the joke? You know? Hey, hipster. Yeah. Like, go deep. Sure. Go so deep, no one will get it.
It's the Pepsi Cola logo from the early 70s.
Yeah, as designed by Dave.
I did not design it. You designed it. I manifested your design. Yes.
There you go. Yeah. But Dave did a very nice job with it, and we've got the shirts. So go on to our site, and if you don't want to spend any money on our site, why not comment on one of our commenty areas?
Yeah.
Tell us what you think of the show. Enter our contest for our talk about a topic for a whole show thing, and maybe you'll win one of the damn shirts. Maybe you'll win some buttons. Maybe you'll win a Canadian chocolate bar.
Yeah. All of the above. And just a quick thank you to Stuart, one of our listeners. He posted, we were talking about Gregory's Girl last week, and he posted some links on the last episode with links to a actual Scottish scene with the Scottish, actual Scottish being spoken, Scottish accents, I should say, and then one with the fake American Scottish accents as well. Yes. So you can do an A-B and hear what it was. And what's interesting is if you go to those links, you will find that the first Bill Forsyth film, which is called That Sinking Feeling, mm-hmm. which features many of the young actors who are also in Gregory's Girl in different roles in a movie about some unemployed youths who decide to steal sinks from a warehouse and sell them. It's quite a good movie, and you can watch it there in the original Scottish in a so-so... You know, in terms of how it looks, it's someone's videotape with a time code on the bottom. But hey, if you've never seen the film, it's well worth watching. And if you love Gregory's Girl and Comfort and Joy and Local Hero, you will also love That Sinking Feeling.
A good recommendation. And Dave, will there ever be any more deck talk on this show?
I guess we should wrap up. We'll wrap up next week. We'll wrap up deck talk for the year.
All right. So we're previewing that next week. Wrapping up the deck talk.
Yeah.
Those of you who've been writing in going like, deck talk is our time war.
Yeah.
Like, wrap it up. We need to know what happened. We need to connect things together.
Yeah.
You know, as you did with your tongue and groove work.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take that the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lisa knows all about that.
Whoa.
The work I did in the deck, I mean.
Say. Anyway, that's what the third season's going to be like. This is a really good jumping off point. For all of us alone. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
All right. You have a good day. Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Like a racehorse.
I hear you.